So today is the third Sunday, which is joy. Joy is an interesting topic. We all talk about joy. We sing songs, Joy to the World. There are probably certain things in life that have brought you great joy. Some things have brought you little joy. There are some that never find joy. And today I want to talk about how we find joy even in difficult times. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, and this is where joy comes from. The angel of the Lord said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." I'm sure these shepherds were wondering what in the world these angels were talking about. And many times, 2,000 years later, we read this verse, and there's probably a lot of people still saying, what are these shepherds talking about? Where's this great joy? Why can't I find joy? For some people, it is a challenge. For others, it may be false. It may be they look happy on the outside, but they're not. Whatever it might be, what we need to understand is the joy that is being spoken of here is an eternal joy. It's an eternal joy. It's an everlasting joy that when you find Christ, the Christ child, and recognize who He is, there's this joy that fills you up, and it's a joy that can never be taken away. Now, the main text I want to talk about today is actually in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I do have an event created on YouVersion if you have YouVersion. But it's in 1 Peter, and I chose 1 Peter 1 because Peter gets this whole concept of finding joy even in the midst of trouble. And I feel like our church needs to hear this today. So 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 3 through 9. And do I have a volunteer that would read 3 through 9? Okay.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul.
Thank you, Carol. That was like a voiceover. You read that very well. It's like, wow, that was really good.
I needed that.
So the first insight that we can get out of 1 Peter in this text here is that God reminds me I am only passing through. I'm only passing through. We are foreigners here on earth. We're aliens, right? None of us have a green card. We'd probably get in trouble here.
I was thinking of the little green man in spaceship.
Well, those too, yeah. So we are foreigners in this land, believe it or not. There is a destination ahead of us, and we are just passing through. We are on a journey while we are here. And so when we try and grasp on to things that are just passing by us, it's going to give you joy for a little bit of time, and it's going to pass. And that's the first thing we need to get out of what 1 Peter is telling us here. In Philippians 3, Paul talks about this when he wrote to the Philippians. It's verses 20 through 21. And he says this, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. See, Paul got this. Philippians is known as the book of joy, by the way. And Paul wrote this from a prison cell. I don't know if you know that. And so he was in a Roman prison cell writing about this joy that his citizenship isn't here, that he's just passing through. And he got this concept. He put this into context, and that was the form of his life. Why was he here? He was here to serve, not be served, just like Jesus. Joy is knowing that there is something greater that awaits us. So even in the darkest circumstances, we can find joy knowing that. That, hey, this is just a time, a season, it's going to pass. But I have eternal joy because I have an eternal place that I'm going for the rest of my life. In John 14, verses 1 through 4, this is what Jesus said, and I love this. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Jesus made it very clear that he didn't just abandon us. He didn't die on the cross and just disappear. He's a living God. He's a living Savior. And he's gone and he intercedes on our behalf and he's prepared a place for us that's an everlasting place. You see, this life is just a mist when you compare it to eternity. It's a small blip. It is such a short life. And Christ came and he wants you to find joy in him in this life. He says, I've come to give you abundant life, but many people think, well, I'll get that abundant life later. And he's come to give it to you today. He alone is worth rejoicing over. He alone is where we find our joy. The second insight that Peter gives us in finding joy in difficult times is that God reassures me with a living hope. A living hope. What does that mean? Anybody know what a living hope means? What he's talking about? You'll find it in verse 3. Peter says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, Jesus' resurrection proved that he was the Messiah. Not only did it prove he was the Messiah, but all the things that Jesus said about himself were true, that he was going to go sit at the right hand of God the Father, he was going to intercede on our behalf, and he atoned our sins. That should give us joy no matter what's going on. That's something that cannot be taken from you. What I've learned is that the joy that Christ gives cannot be taken. You can give it away, but it cannot be taken. It's really a personal matter. Do I want to be joyful for what Christ did for me? Or do I want to just throw that away? I remember when I came to Christ, it was a compelling moment for me, and the emotions were overwhelming, and I was filled with this joy that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. And that occasion and that joy filled my life and it kept me going, even in the tough times. And it's something that can never be taken away from me. You can take everything away from me in this house, my family, whatever it might be, and I'm still going to find joy in Christ. You see, this living hope produces joy. When we really put our hope in Him and our hope in Christ and our trust in Him, we can find joy. Even in the dark times, look at Paul. Paul went through some serious stuff, and he always found joy, no matter what, because of Christ. As he tells us, this living joy that we find, this living hope, is through a resurrected Christ. We know he is risen. There are over 500 eyewitnesses that saw the resurrected Christ. There are people that used to debate this over and over, and there's been so much proof to support his resurrection that you won't find people trying to challenge us very often anymore. And if he's resurrected, then he's the Son of God, and he intercedes on our behalf. It's because of him that we have a new, restored relationship with God. Our sins have been wiped clean. We've been made righteous with him. Peter talks about being born again. Born again. I've heard many people in life say, I want a do-over. I wish I could go back in time and get a do-over. Well, that's exactly what being born again is. It's a do-over. You get to start a new life in Christ. It's not the old life. You put the old things away. You're buried with Christ, and you're raised with Christ into a new righteousness that's not your own. It's one that Christ gave to you. And there's joy in that, folks. I know I was once in darkness, blinded from the light, blinded from who Christ was. And then he came and he revealed himself to me, and now I walk in the light. It's not my light, it's his light. And when I put that into perspective and I look at where I was before and where I am today, there's great joy in that. Great joy in knowing I've been redeemed by my loving God who cares greatly for me. Now, the third insight that Peter gives us into finding joy is that God redeems me for incorruptible glory. What does that mean? In verse 4, he says, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Well, I don't know if any of you have ever received an inheritance from somebody, but it's probably got a finite something. There's an end to it at some point. Yeah. You begin to spend it, and at some point, it's going to be gone, right? The inheritance that we're talking about here does not perish. It does not perish. You see, many of us try and find joy in the things around us, like money or cars. Some of us find joy in relationships or high position. These things are all temporary. It's a temporary joy that can't be eternal. It won't last. It cannot sustain us. And if we look to those things and hold on to those things to give us joy, and that's what we're grounded on, we're gonna fall flat on our face every time. Yes, the things that we have are gifts from God, but they're not eternal. There's one gift that's eternal, and it's the greatest gift of all, and that's Jesus Christ and a relationship with him.
He's kept a bank account for you in heaven.
That's right. Thank goodness, because the interest here doesn't pay Jack.
He's probably going to take us, charge us.
You see, joy from that which is eternal will never perish. Joy from that which is eternal will never perish. Joy from that which is perishable will always perish. As soon as it's gone, your joy goes with it, out the door. Now, I've come to learn that there is very little I have control of in this lifetime. I'd really like to think I have more control than I do. And I've come to grips with that because I used to be a guy with anxiety. I used to be a guy that if something didn't go according to my plan, I would lose it. I would try and change the circumstance. I'd do everything around me to get control back and bring things back into my power. And man, what a difficult life that was. I saw through that I have very little control at all. And then later on, I began to see how much control God has. And when I began to recognize that God's plan has got to be better than my plan. My plan stinks. If I'm not doing God's will and following His plan, I'm going to have a rough time. And when I started to recognize that God is the God of love, that's His character, that's His nature, that's all He can do is love. And when I started to realize that when He's talking about the plans I have for you, He's not just talking to Israel. He's talking to those that have a heart for God, that want to love God and pursue God. He says, the plans I have for you are good plans, not to harm you. When you recognize that and understand who God really is, and you start to recognize His providence, He's in control. He makes the universe spin, or the world spin. He's in control of everything around us. And if His plan is good, I just need to rest in that and be cool with that. I don't have to be God. And that's what I was trying to be. When you're trying to manipulate and control everything around you to keep you from losing it, you're playing God. And it's so much easier to let God be God and let me be me. See, this inheritance that Peter's talking about, God freely gives. And there's joy in that, going, you know what? There is a heaven waiting for me where the God of love sits on a throne, and I'm going to be in His presence someday fully. There's joy in that. I don't have to be in control of anything. I just have to be in prayer. Pour out my concerns to God with thanksgiving and let Him be God. I battled for years with some serious anxiety. And I didn't talk about it much. I mean, most people don't even know this. But when I was working, I've shared my story that I wanted to be the top dog, the best of my job, known in my career. And I took on a lot of responsibility at a very young age. At the age of, I think it was 24 years old, I had 30 direct reports under me. I was director of R&D for a startup company. And it was a company that didn't have a lot of money yet invested. And so we had to run a very tight ship. And I had an awful lot of responsibility on my shoulders. And I would do anything to make sure that my reputation stayed up there, that I was known for what I could get done. And there were many times where I would start to have panic attacks. I began to sweat, my heart would race. I remember one time I really thought I was having a heart attack in the middle of a conference room. And this was before I knew Christ, before I had a relationship with Him. And I was miserable. I was totally miserable. This was my life, trying to pursue things that are going to perish, things that I really had very little control over. It was a tough place to be. I don't know if any of you have been there before, but I'm telling you, it's not worth it. You're not going to get real joy from that. You're going to get moments of joy, but it's going to perish along with those things eventually. I stayed in that job for a year before the company ended up selling it to another company. I could have run myself into the ground in that year and then watched this company go to somebody else. I had no control over where that company was going. I wasn't the president. I wasn't on the board of directors. We have to put our trust in God and know that He is in control. And we need to put things into perspective. Now, the fourth insight that Peter gives us, I think, is a really good one. And that insight in finding joy is that God refines us for genuine faith. Genuine faith. I remember growing up, we had a pretty strict household at times. when one of us screwed up, there was going to be discipline. Poor thing. And I'll tell you what, the anticipation of my dad coming home from work when we were in trouble, that was not a fun situation. But as you become an adult and you become your own parent of a child, you begin to realize that I love my kids. I want them to do well in life. And sometimes that takes correction. Sometimes that takes some discipline. And it's true with God too. Sometimes when we go through these things in life, it's a faith-building exercise that we go through. But you got to have a relationship with God first to understand that. You have to know that His plans are good plans and He's refining us. He's refining us. What Peter says in verse 6 and 7, he says, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." We've got to hold on to our faith. Now, there's many times where life starts to get easy and we get laxed on our time with God. We get laxed in our time of prayer. We get laxed in our time of reading the Word. We get laxed in outreach. And then as soon as that rug is pulled out from underneath you, you're back on your knees praying to God. Well, I'll tell you what, if we don't begin to build that relationship in the good times, when those bad times come, that relationship's not going to be there either. I went to Celebrate Recovery several years ago and met a guy there. And out of the blue one day, he calls me. And I don't know if you guys know much about Celebrate Recovery, but it is a great place to go to work through issues in your life, no matter what they are, and to allow Christ to replace those things that have caused us to feel broken. And they usually put you in little support groups of other people that have gone through similar things. And this gentleman out of the blue called me one day. I said, "Hey, what's up?" And he said, "I just want you to hear my voice over the phone. Because if I don't start building that relationship, if I'm in trouble and I call you, it's going to be very awkward." Lord, he is having a fit. And so it's the same with God. Are we calling Him to say hi every day, or are we just calling Him in our times of trouble? God wants a relationship with you. He wants you to surrender every part of your life to Him. Not just when we're down on our luck and, "God, get me out of this." But if we begin to be grounded in Him, we can find joy in all circumstances. It's a refining of our faith. It's building character in us. It's helping us to hold on to that which is eternal. You know, tough times are inevitable. I hate the prosperity gospel because it makes you believe that if you do certain things, God's going to bless you immensely with all these riches. Well, He's already blessed you by sending His Son. And Jesus goes on and on to say, don't hold on to material things because they're going to perish. And He goes on to say, you're going to have difficult times because of me. The world's going to hate you because it hated me first. He's very clear about that we're going to face trials. You know, many people come into Christianity and think life's going to get easy all of a sudden.
It gets harder.
It gets harder, doesn't it? It's a refinement. It's processing us for a genuine faith. A faith that is not going to slip away. I remember the parable of Jesus with the seed. You guys ever heard that parable? He throws seed on the rocky place, and the birds come and they eat it. And then he goes on to explain that parable. He says, those are the people that heard the word and had great joy. But the troubles of this life soon took over and they lost it. That's not a genuine faith. That's not a faith that you can ground your roots into. See, to have that kind of faith, we need to spend time with God. We need to trust God. We need to be in His Word. This is how we get refined. You know, we did a series on James recently. And one of my favorite verses, it's my favorite, and it's a difficult verse. It's James 1, verses 2 through 3. Anybody have that up? Do you want to read it? James 1, 2 through 3.
Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
Thank you, Robert. Consider it pure joy when you face trials. Anybody ever celebrate when you're going through a difficult time?
Celebrate when it's over.
Celebrate when it's over? I remember a challenging time in my life. I was unemployed. I was let go from my job. And it took me 7 months to actually go back to work. And I remember sitting in that time, trusting God. It was an awesome feeling. Yes, it was a little scary. I didn't know what was going to happen. But here I was, 7 months with no work. And I spent a lot of time with God, just praising God, praising Him. God, whatever happens, I'm good. You got this. You've always gotten this. You've always had my back through all these times and these trials. Man, I found joy in that. I was almost bummed out when I had to go back to work. I was like, oh man, I actually got to work again. See, even in trials, joy can be found. I love reading the stories of Paul sitting in prison. And he's bringing people to Christ in prison. Why was he in prison? For preaching the gospel. That's all he did. And he's thrown in this dungeon, this Roman prison, and he's bringing people to Christ in the midst of all that. And he's singing praises and hymns you'll read about. This is what the secret was, I believe, for Paul and for Peter and for James. All these apostles actually were martyred. Martyred. John was the one that was not. In Luke 10:20, Jesus said, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." See, Paul got that. Peter got that. James got that. Rejoice because your name is written in the book of heaven, the book of life. This was Jesus talking to 72 that he gave authority and power to do his work on earth. And they go out and they cast demons out and they come back rejoicing because the demons would hear the name of Jesus and respond. And Jesus says, don't rejoice over that. That's just a sign. Rejoice that your name is in heaven. That's what we rejoice about. And the greatest thing about this is this joy can never be taken away from you. The salvation is yours. In Ephesians 1, verses 13 through 14, I'm going to read this for you. It says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory." Amen. Marked with a seal. See, once you become a believer in Christ and you receive the Holy Spirit, that is a seal saying you belong to God. You are His. Your salvation is secure. Now, the fifth insight in defining joy is that God replenishes me. not just replenishes me, but he replenishes me with an inexpressible joy. We go back to our original text in 1 Peter, and we look at verse 8 and 9. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. See, joy comes from knowing this secret, knowing God through Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes. When we draw near to God, the Holy Spirit begins to recharge us. When we draw away from God, we start to go into that zone that nobody wants to go into. Now, part of the secret here is what we call being filled with the Spirit. And there are two doctrines about the Holy Spirit here. One is, I believe in Christ and I receive the Holy Spirit. And the other part of that is being filled with the Spirit. So you can receive the Holy Spirit once you believe in God. But then the Bible says to be constantly filled with the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? When we begin to praise God and we begin to put Him in the center of our life, we begin to focus on Him and do His will and become a servant, not one to be served, but become a servant of the Most High, the Holy Spirit begins to fill us up. It begins to take us on a journey to follow God's will. And there's this filling, this pouring out of the Holy Spirit. When that happens, we have this great joy. You know, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit gives us utterances. We get so filled, it just starts to give us utterance. We speak with joy. We praise God from this. And if you've never had that experience, it is like no other. I can't explain it to you. You can just feel this heavy presence of the Lord. It's not heavy in that it's weighing you down. It's just like this presence of God is so powerful. And you begin to just really feel God's presence, and you begin to praise Him and worship Him and recognize His goodness. In Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 20, it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, with hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, be filled with the Spirit. It's a verb. He's talking about something you do. And to get filled with the Spirit means you have to spend time with God. And the result of that becomes singing praises, singing hymns from the heart, thanking God for His goodness, for all He's done in our life. You know, if you ever read the stories of Israel in Deuteronomy and Exodus, you see this people that cry out to God. God rescues them from this horrible slavery. And within a matter of time, they're grumbling. They're forgetting what God did for them.
And,
I mean, I've done that. I've done that. I walk, God rescues me from something, and I quickly forget what He did. And I start to go back and grumble about all my other circumstances, right? Forgive me, Lord, for that. It's so easy to look at Israel and go, guys, what's wrong with you? Why do you do that? And then I look at my own life and go, maybe I shouldn't poking fun at Israel here. It's talking about singing praises. Tell you what, the best place to find joy is just to praise God and to worship Him. That's why we do worship before church. to begin to get filled with the Holy Spirit. We praise God. We honor God. We glorify God in all things. And when you start to pray Him and that Holy Spirit begins to fill you up, you're going to find some joy. There's no other way around it.
I felt like with my dad's situation, that was one thing I felt like God reminded me when he was in ICU, that look at, like, to focus on the fact that he did prepare us ahead of time, the fact that all these things were in order when it happened. Yes. So it wasn't, we weren't in chaos, even though it was hard. And when you started, when I started focusing on that, it changes your, like when I would be in that mindset, it would change my entire focus. Whereas when I got sucked back into the pity party, like that's when I began, that's when you just start.
Right.
When you just focus on like, okay, look at the way God did everything, orchestrated everything, that even though this happened, He went ahead of it.
That's right.
And gave us the mercy and grace to go through it.
Amen. Amen. You guys have been through a lot, and God has seen you through it. There's, I'm telling you, I've had some nights, not many, but I've had a few, where I've woken up with anxiety, and I'm pretty sure it was some type of spiritual attack. And after I get my bearings straight and my cloud over my head cleared up, I start to praise God. I start to praise God. I start to say, thank you, God. You are a good God. And I start to worship God. And all of a sudden, all that goes away. And I find joy. And I'm telling you that if you want to find joy in your life, put God in your life. I don't know how people go through life without knowing Him.
I used to ask the question all the time, how do people deal with their circumstances when they don't have them?
Right.
And when I first got into the Bible, I used to ask all the time, how do people that don't have it do it all the time?
Right.
And they're miserable all the time.
Right.
There's no hope for what's at the end. I mean, you can go through a horrible life, and then there's hope at the end for something good, but these people don't have that.
Well, because that was one of my biggest questions when I first got into the Bible, is how do people that don't talk to God deal with their circumstances? And they usually they don't.
Right.
Drink, drugs.
I mean, I praise God. I mean, I've been in some scary situations. I've been in situations that looked very bleak. I'm sure most of us have at one time or another. And having my relationship with God through that has sustained me. It's refined me, as Peter described. It helped develop my faith in God, knowing that He is going to come through regardless. And I find joy in that. I can find joy no matter what storm is around me. Sometimes I have to remind myself and I have to kick myself in the head and say, hey, don't go down that path. Sing praises to God and let His joy come over you. That's why Christ is a joy to all people, a joy to the world. He came no matter what your circumstances were to bring you abundant life. And if we try and find it outside of Him, we're going to fail miserably and we're going to be miserable. If you want to find joy, it's in Christ alone. It's in Christ alone. So I'm going to light our third candle today. This is our candle of joy. Let that candle remind you today, the center here is Christ. Joy comes from that center candle. If we take that center candle out, that light's going to go out very quickly. Now, let me go ahead and close this in prayer.